Cooper comes up, hits it. Yeah!
Oh, what a shot! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Farman!
Go, Cleach.
There's the goal! Richie!
Welcome to another edition of the Official Scotland Podcast. We're here at Orium. We're joined by Manchester United and Scotland midfielder Scott McTominay. Scott, thank you for joining us. How are you getting on?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, very well. I had a bit of time off with my friends and my family now. I think it was 2 weeks after the Europa League, and then it's good to be back, you know, kicking a ball about. You miss it whenever it's 2 weeks or three. You just can't wait to get back, and obviously being here with the boys and obviously all the staff as well is brilliant.
One of the quickest and strangest turnarounds, probably, isn't it? In terms of
it was a strange time for everyone. You know, coming, everyone's at sort of different stages. Some have had league matches, some have had friendly matches, and some of us, like myself, have had nothing. So, whenever it comes to training, I think everybody's been ready. We've obviously had one session today, which was good, a little loosener, and then tomorrow the work starts properly, and then that's the lead up to the games.
You rightly say you were playing obviously in Europe just a couple of weeks ago, so that period of time, it's not like you can lose much match sharpness or fitness, is there?
No, exactly. It's just getting a feel for the ball, getting a feel for everything which is going on. There's obviously it's a different setup here, getting used to seeing the boys again and being back with them. So not everything's positive.
Yeah, and it's nearly been 11 months in total since we've been together as a group at the Scotland national team. To be back amongst it, some old familiar faces that it felt like it's probably been a long time since you've seen. Is it good to be here again?
Well, I missed the last one as well. I was injured, so that was even longer for me. So as you haven't seen the lads for, it'd be easily 11, 12 months now. Yeah, so it's a long time, do you know what I mean? So not just to get back with everyone, training as well, leading up to matches, it's important that we had two good results last time that we was here. And for myself, it's important to kick on as well.
What's it like for you, Scott, where you do miss an international meet-up? How do you handle that? Because I know that you must be the type that you're desperate to represent and pull on the shirt at any point you can. So is
that
a challenge?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%. Like, football's football. Like, you should just love what you're doing. You should love your job. And for me, it's the exact same. I love playing football. And whenever you're injured or you have you might not be in the team or things like that, you're just desperate to be playing football. And for me, that's the most important thing, to keep your head down, keep working hard. And obviously playing for Scotland's is such an honour for myself and all my family as well. So it's a pleasure to be here as well.
Of course. What's the manager had to say to you since you've joined back up? I know it's still early doors in this international window, but what's he been saying?
I hope you didn't have too good of a holiday. No, he was fine. He knows that I'm the type of, I'm the only one, I think, who's not been back in. So he knows what he's getting with myself. I'm not one of them ones who's not ready whenever he comes back, and he's not ready to start training. I'm always like to keep myself ticking over as well, so it's important that.
Yeah, we play Israel three times between now and November. It's quite a surreal situation, isn't it? But how do you approach the first game of the three coming up on Friday?
With respect, like every other team that we come up against, with respect, utmost respect for teams like that who are very, very good side as well, and for us, they have to respect us as well. The threats we've got. The players we've got in our team, we've got a very, very good squad. And the manager reiterated that in the meeting this morning. It's about the squad. It's about everybody as a group, everybody together pulling in the same way. And that's so important when it comes to competitions like this, that everybody's fighting in the same direction. And for us, that message is very clear from the staff.
Yeah, you rightly mentioned the squad that we've got here. You're no stranger to this, though. A lot of competition in that midfield area in particular.
Of course.
At club level as well, don't you? But up here, that quality is a good thing, of course, but how do you approach that as well?
Yeah, of course, you never go throughout your career without having competition. Your team that you play for can go and sign someone for however many thousands or millions or whatever currency we're talking about here. They can go and do that, and you have to show to the manager, whether that's at national team level or club level, that you're ready. And for me, that's the most important thing. You never take the foot off the gas. As soon as you get comfortable, it becomes difficult, and the manager's a big believer in that, both at club and country as well, and obviously that follows my beliefs as well, so it's perfect.
Just want to touch on club career, of course. It's been a massive season for you, Scott. I mean, so there's been so much that you've achieved this year, but there was injury in there to disrupt it, but then there was a couple of special goals in there. You scored the club's 2000th Premier League goal, for example, that memorable one against Man City. You must look back on it, particularly with the challenge in the middle of that injury, with a lot of pride in how you've come through what a very good season.
Yeah, of course. Whenever it's all going swimmingly, you're playing every week and things like that, and you're scoring a few goals here and there, and it's good. And then you get a setback, and you have to react to that. You can't hang your head and be disappointed about stuff like that. You have to think about when you're going to be back set dates for yourself to push for them times to get back from injury, obviously, as well as you can without re-injuring yourself as well. But for me, injuries are a part of football. You have to accept that, and you'll never go through your career without picking up a minor injury or a longer term injury. It's a fact that everybody will have some troubles in the time of their career. But no, that's part and parcel of football. You have to keep fighting for your place every single week. And I think both managers at club and the national team know that you're that type of guy who wants to give everything, whether that's from the start, whether that's from the bench or whatever.
It's one thing, the physical side of handling an injury. How big, I know a lot of people probably ask this, but when it comes to athletes, not just footballers, how big is the mental side of it as well, and keeping a positive mind and attitude moving forward?
Yeah, a lot of that does come from the people you've got around you. You know, your family. My mum and dad stayed at my house for, I think it was 2-3 months whenever I was injured. Yeah. Made sure that I was eating all the right foods, which I do anyway. Eating all the right foods, making sure anything that you need, and that's the type of people who get you through stuff like that, always having someone there to speak to if you're going through a tougher time. And obviously for me, it went so quick whenever I first got injured to the my knee one. This was 10 weeks. That went really quick in terms of like having people around, coming to see you and stuff like that, because you can't really do much when you're on crutches. So for me, it did go really quick. And obviously the physios at the club were amazing with me. They pushed me every single day to my limits to get me back as quick as I could. And it shows when you come back in the matches, you're ready and you're only mugging yourself off if you don't come back in that way.
Yeah, you've shown that side of your mentality in your game prior to injury. You obviously worked so hard. Am I right in saying that, I think it's well quoted online, that you grew and developed 14 inches in 2 years, is that right?
Yeah, I was really small when I was 17, 18. I was really small. You see 17, 18-year-olds now who are playing regular men's football. Yeah. I was at no stage in my career to be even competing with boys my age, never mind men. So everybody has a set pathways. You can never put a time frame on success for young players coming through. It varies in terms of where they're at that stage. And I think some boys see 16-year-olds, say, for example, see somebody who's 18 saying, in 2 years' time, I have to be here doing what he's doing or scoring as many goals as he is. You have to set your own pathway. And that's one thing that my dad and the coaches at the club always said, that it doesn't matter how long it takes you, just as long as you do keep working hard and keep pushing yourself to get to the level which you have set in your mind, then young kids these days, they don't realise how much more time they have than what they don't have.
I know you've spoke about this before, Scott, but your dad, we do speak about him from time to time when you come up here to Scotland, being, of course, Scottish himself. How big a role does he play in your career? Not just your dad, of course, but the rest of your family. How important are they to you?
Massive. Like, my dad, whenever I was growing up, he never once, and I never got in the car and he was like, you were this today, you were that today. He would always, if I didn't have a good game, he would just change the subject, we'd talk about something else. He knows, he doesn't need to tell me, because that's the sort of way that he's brought me up to be, to always know, if you've done well, then brilliant, then you go again. But if you've not done so well, don't dwell on it and keep moving forwards. And throughout my career, he's been absolutely amazing, coming all over the country and all over the world to watch me play, as well as my mum. And it's a credit to him, because if they weren't as committed as what they were around 13, 14 years old, then you might not be sitting in this chair now. So everything pretty much goes down to them, which is it's difficult, because not a lot of young players can have that life and have that luxury of your mum and dad being able to take you to places, and fortunately I have. And obviously for players who don't have that, it's a credit to them as well. It is very good.
Yeah, and probably some of the old school fans that would think, you know, associate, you know, bad game, going a bit crazy about it. That's quite a progressive forward thinking from your dad, just to have that awareness about how to manage you. But of course, as a player and as teammates, do you take that into your role as a leader on the pitch?
Not tough on myself, but I know, like, if I need to wake up, I need to wake up. And I'll tell them myself that, like, I don't need somebody else to tell me that. So everybody handles it different. Some people need saying, you were this and you were that today, whereas I sort of know. And if that comes along with it, and you just have to accept it from the coach and from the staff and stuff like that. So, but that's football, that's elite sports, what you go through in training and different things like that. The mentality and the level set by everyone when we're training is so high. So if you don't reach that, and you have to be tough on yourself, if you're not performing at your best, then you need to tell yourself that rather than somebody else tell you.
Yeah, and start from a young age, of course. I know how much a role your dad will have played in that and your family will have. But if we look through your career as you grew up through the academy at Manchester United, what were your earliest sort of memories of international football at that point growing up? Was it always your aspiration, of course, with that hunger and drive to represent?
Yeah, always, always. Whenever I was younger, I never played for England. I think I was 14 or 15 whenever I came to a camp with Scotland. And I was only little. You'll be able to find the picture somewhere. I've got it on, I think I put it on my Instagram a couple of years ago or something like that. you'll be able to find that one. So there was a few familiar faces as well, yeah. which I think Ollie McBurney was there and a few of the other boys. I can't quite remember who was there. But yeah, so when I was younger, I had that little bit of experience whenever I think I was about 15 years old. And then you see, like, the staff, the way that you approach things, it's a little bit different to at your club, and you go back and at a young age, it's like, oh, it's a lot to take in. And no, it gives you that ambition and that drive to really want to do something.
Yeah, of course. And I know a lot was spoke about at the time with Alex McLeish travelling a long way to come and see you. Did Alex Ferguson play a bit of a role as well in your allegiance to Scotland as well?
Yeah, I don't think anyone played a role. It was my own decision. It was my family, how, like, close I am with everybody in Scotland, and obviously playing for Scotland is a massive honour for me as well, and obviously all my family are in Helensburgh, and it is special, to be fair. And it's whenever I come back up and see them, they're all very, very proud, put it that way. They're very, very, very pleased.
Looking at club level in particular, the way that Manchester United ended the season, the momentum that you guys have picked up, you can carry that into international football, can't you? Even though there has been a bit of a break, but you can carry
that. Yeah, of course you can. 100%. That's football. That if you're in a rhythm of doing all the right things, everybody's pushing the same way, then it's powerful. You know, in football, you see teams who are winning Champions Leagues, Bayern Munich, the way that they're playing at the minute, is everybody's pushing in the same direction. And whenever you get a culture like that, and international level, club level, whatever that is, you can go on to do some really special things. And for me personally, that's the culture that I think that the manager's creating, in terms of we're playing and we're all going together and we're going strong as well.
Yeah, and looking at club level, some of the players that you'll be training and working with every day, the job that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's doing down there at the moment, do you still feel like, you know, you're learning so much every day around these players and under the stewardship of Solskjaer?
Yeah, you see with coaches, national team and club level, you can learn so much, and sometimes you have to sit back and actually think, right, I need to learn as much as I possibly can in this time frame while you're young, because it sticks, you know. Yeah. Whenever you're at a younger age, obviously I'm 23 now, so that's borderline getting older and older as every year goes on. So you're not classed as a young player anymore, but that doesn't mean that you still can't keep learning, can't developing your game, because the coaches at the club level are with each other all the time. We speak with each other and going through videos, clips, analysis and stuff like that. Where should you be? Where shouldn't you be? Could you do this? And different ideas like that. So it's always paints a picture in your mind for games coming up with Scotland, with club as well.
Yeah, back to Scotland. You talked about your family. Will they be a little bit disappointed that there's not going to be any fans in the stadium to come along and see you?
I seen my grandpa 2 days ago, and he says, this is rubbish, no fans. He says, what's this? He don't like it. I says, grandpa, that's the rules. Like, maybe in a little while we might see some fans there, and I'm sure he'll be one of the first ones who will want a ticket, I'll tell you that.
Has your grandpa got a Scotland or Man United face mask or anything like that?
No, he's old school, so he goes to the games. He loves it. All my family in Scotland, they love going to the games. My grandparents, my aunties, uncles, and obviously mum and dad, and everyone. They all go. It's a nice day out for them anyway.
Yeah, it's not quite as close as your family, but I know it's a very close knit squad here, and a lot of familiar faces, of course, from playing against in the Premier League. A lot of the Scottish boys up here as well that you probably don't see as often. Is it good to link back up with them?
Yeah, it's good. Like, I get on with the lads so well. Yeah. Like, I couldn't fault any of them. Like, they're all brilliant lads. They've all got the right mindset, right mentality to succeed. And otherwise, he wouldn't be here. The manager wouldn't have him here, and that's like, goes on behalf of myself. If he doesn't see that hunger to succeed and really accomplish something with Scotland, then I'm sure that you wouldn't be here. And that's the way that I'm saying is the right direction. Everybody wants to be here. Everybody wants to play, and that's healthy competition as well.
What have you felt like under Clark here since he's taken over? Obviously, he's got a close relationship with all you guys, and the conversations he's had with you. Are you enjoying the time at Scotland under Steve Clark?
Yeah, very driven, very detailed. Everything that we do is to the highest detail, and it's so important that the fine margins in football, you see, sometimes a thing that can cost you as well. And I see that in abundance with, obviously, the manager. He's from early signs, he seems top class, and everybody's just enjoying working under him and learning different things from him and his coaching staff every day. And for us, it's a pleasure, really, because we're the ones who go on the pitch, so you have to take into consideration everything that they're saying and do it to the best of your abilities as well.
How important is it, Scott? I know it's probably an obvious question, but to start this new Nations League group on a strong foot in the right manner, how important is that, considering we've got that big, big game coming up in October against Israel in the playoffs?
Yeah, every game, you know, that you play is so important, whether that's a friendly for match rhythm or Nations League games, it's so important, and I feel like you haven't to look too far ahead to other games that we've got in other months. The manager and his staff have said, focus on these two, then the next two, then the ones after that, and wherever that takes you and you get on a roll of unbeaten games, then that's only going to be beneficial to the squad as well.
Yeah, have you adapted quite quickly to the different protocols in place now because of the coronavirus? Is it still going to take a bit of getting used to for everybody?
Yeah, I think you just have to listen to that as well. The doc speaks about it a lot, and different things which go on in and around the training ground about hygiene and staying 2 metres apart, and obviously when we're training that's different as well, but you have to make sure that it's important, that, because what's gone on in the last five, six months sort of thing, which since the virus has been around, is terrible, and you know, and it's not a nice thing for everybody, so you got to border on the safety precaution.
Of course, this bubble that everyone keeps talking about in that group now, you're obviously a busy day with training, team meetings, a lot of things happening, but there are times when you have to fill a bit of time yourself, Scott.
Yeah.
I know a few of the boys are battering the games consoles. And
I love it, yeah.
Is that you? Is that
table tennis, pool, I'll have them all at that. No, it's good because you need a bit of downtime as well. It's so important that whenever you've had long days training, it's good to get your rest and just chill, have a coffee with the lads, play the PlayStation, play pool, table tennis, what's upstairs. I've not actually been, to be fair, yet, so... We'll get some good games going on in there for sure.
I'm not surprised to hear you back yourself at most things, but who's your biggest competition on the table tennis table?
Do you know what, table tennis, I haven't got one, so if I had one, I would be practicing all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm that type. I've got a pool table, so I practice on it all the time. Like, you can't get me off it. Anyone comes around and you literally. Well, as soon as my dad, because my dad's having himself as well, so whenever he comes up, he used to beat me when I was younger, but now it's. Tables have turned out, so he's not happy about that. But I can't really remember. I think snooker or pool, I'll have anyone.
Yeah.
No problem.
You sound like the type of guy, though. The table tennis table is up there. You've got a week or so here. You're probably going to be...
Yeah, I will. It just depends what the standards are. I remember the standards was... It was all right, but there's a few lads at football club who were decent, so I stay clear. Because if I lose, then that's it. Like, I can't... I can't have that. There's no going back after that. Once someone's got one over on you, that's it. You've had it.
Well, I'm going to, if you don't mind, Scott, we've got a few fan questions as well, which would be quite good to ask you. So I'm just going to have a look here. Craig, through in Edinburgh, this is an interesting one now. Your dad, you might have to ask your dad this. He says that him and his mates all met your dad in a bar in Rimini before the San Marino game. Was he out there?
He possibly could have been, yeah.
Apparently they met him and he told us that he told you what to pick, whatever country you wanted to play for, that he didn't put pressure on you, and it sounds like that's the type of guy he is. Is that true?
Yeah, he didn't at all. Yeah, that sounds like my dad. Yeah. It might have been lying a little bit, but no, he didn't. He just said, son, you do whatever you think's right, and then we'll be right behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Del in Salford has got a question as well. I believe you have all the ability and attributes to eventually captain our beloved country. If given this opportunity, what would it mean to you and why?
Yeah, obviously that's a bold statement, and it's a statement that you have to aspire to with things like that. Obviously, a captaincy is somebody like Andy Roberts at the minute, who's so important to the team, both on the pitch and off the pitch. I think everybody around the place could say the exact same words about that, and what he brings to the team is so important. But if that happens, then brilliant. You never know. Like, you obviously have to aspire to something like that one day, both at club and country, and the sky's the limit sort of thing. You can never put a cap on what you want to do in your career. You have to keep pushing every year by year to keep improving, and obviously the captain at the minute is a brilliant example. So you never know what can happen.
Exactly. Ryan up in Dundee's got a question for you. Now, this could be an interesting one, Scott. He said, if you weren't a footballer, would you have considered an athletics career because of your 5K time? Now, what's your 5K time? Is that something from Instagram or something, is it?
Yeah, it was 17:30. So that's decent, to be fair.
That's very good, yeah.
Yeah, but I did split. So I did, it would have been about 15 minutes. So I was doing 3-minute splits. So I think my fastest 1K was... like 2:50, and then I tapered it up like one after the other. Well, that's for me. I've got long legs, Anna, so that's not football's all sharp change direction and stuff like that. If I wasn't a footballer, I'd probably look at, I don't know, I like my golf and I like my snooker and everything like that. So I would look at something like that, yeah, because once I start practicing something, that's it.
That's you.
Yeah, I can't stop. Hooked.
Did you get out on the golf course at least through that kind of break you had off, since that was one of the sports that you could do a little bit
further? Yeah, I went with my friends, a lot of us. There's about 10 of us who play. Obviously, you can't go around in tens with everything. But there's a lot of us who play. We have little competitions and stuff like that. And you notice how you get a lot better after playing 2, 3, 4 times a week. So, it's good to something to do in your leisure time as well, rather than just not doing much and going on a holiday and relaxing and stuff like that. It's good to keep active as well, especially walking up them hills in the golf course. It ain't easy.
You're only 23 years old. I don't suppose you'll have had a hole-in-one yet, have you?
No. Do you know what? I've been close. I've been close a few times, on little par threes and stuff like that. But, my reaction's a little bit. I've got a video on my phone, but, some of them go a little bit over the top, to be fair, but...
Have you got a handicap at least? Are you?
No, I've not got. If I was to do one, I would say I'd probably play 17, 18.
Yeah.
You don't get a chance to play enough whenever it's.
Of course, I know.
2 times a week is an absolute maximum for me. Like, I couldn't play any more than that. So even once a week sometimes is a struggle with the amount of games that we have and coming away and stuff like that and different things. So no, I think if I was to practice 3 times a week and I didn't play football, I would fancy myself. Yeah, I'd be all right.
I'll say just one more question. Michael in Annie's Land is wondering if he should be picking you for his fantasy football team this season with the goals you scored last season.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Fire me in because I'll get practicing my shooting and get some assists up as well. So, I'll be cheap, I'd imagine. So, defensive midfielder, so I'd find me, and it might be worth a little wild card.
Great. I said that was the last one, but the one from Dexter here, he's only 6 years old in Glasgow, has asked a bit of a cracker, so I need to put this one in. You're his favourite player. He must be a Man United fan. His dad's favourite player growing up was Cantona, so there we go. Who was your favourite player growing up?
My favourite player? I'd probably say Zidane.
Yeah.
Zidane, because my dad always said, like, you'll be quite tall, son, so like watch like him. Players like that. So he's 6'1" or whatever he is. He was like unbelievable when you watch him. He was top drawer. I just remember his goals that he was scoring in Champions League finals and how he played against Brazil in the World Cup in 2006. I think it was 2006.
Yeah,
might be wrong.
Yeah.
But breathtaking, so good, like unbelievably good. Not many players look like that on a football pitch in this day and age. So for me, I always used to admire to him and the way that he played the game as well.
See if you can produce that volley at Hampden on Friday, Scott. That would be all right.
Never know. Exactly. I've had a few of them in training. Maybe not.
We'll cut that basic.
maybe not like that. Yeah. Not with a left foot.
All right, Scott. Honestly, thank you very much for sitting down with us. It's been a pleasure chatting to you.
No problem.
All the very best for the games coming up as well.
Thank you very much.
And the season ahead when it gets back going.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Been a pleasure.